Good morning to everyone. Thank God that we're all still here and we're able to come out and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's good to see all of your faces this morning, because I know we didn't have to see one another this morning. And to all of those of you who came out to hear a Father's Day message today, I got news for you. I have a Father's Day message, but it's to the Holy Father, not us. But I will say Happy Father's Day to all fathers. And our priority is to make sure we serve up the gospel, not to talk tradition. So let us remember that God is the Father, and to Him we give all honor, and it's to Him that we give our thanks for allowing us to still be here. So with that in mind, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is once again that You have blessed us and given us another thread of life that we can cling to. You have blessed us because You have seen well enough in us to grant us the favor of more life. Father, we don't know how many more days we may have on this earth, but we do know that as the clock ticks, so does our lifespan drops. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us. And we thank You that You have blessed us to be able to be in Your Son's house this morning. We thank You this morning, Father, for this church here, this local congregation, the Stony Island congregation here, O Heavenly Father. We pray for its leadership and their families, and we pray for the brothers who have taken part in the services this morning, as well as their families. We are praying for every member in this audience this morning, and that You would bless them and be with them through everything, O Heavenly Father, that especially those things that are negative in their lives. Give them positiveness in their lives, that they may spread joy and peace and hope to one another, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who may not be members of the body this morning. We just thank You, O Lord, if they're here with us, that maybe we can give them a word of truth this morning. We thank You this morning, Father, for those parents who are raising their children. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Your will, You would give them the strength to carry on, especially if they're raising them up in the admonition of the Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying this morning for all of those who come to the congregation this morning, come to the church this morning, expecting to hear a word of truth. We pray that we can give them that word of truth this morning. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on, O Heavenly Father, that You be with us, and that if this service is found faithful, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that it would be found faithful in Thy sight. We thank You this morning, O Lord, and ask You to continue to bless us and be with those people, O Lord, who are without this morning. Father, be it food, raiment, or clothing, we just pray, O Lord, food, raiment, or shelter, we pray, O Lord, that You would be with them. We pray, Father, for that one who is standing a guilty distance from Your throne, that if it be Thy will, that they would just reach out, for Your hand has always been extended, but that they would just reach out and touch it, O Lord, and come to You before it is everlastingly too late. Father, we pray for the peace of this world, but we pray especially for the peace in our local area, O Lord. We pray that everyone would stop pointing, shooting, and killing each other, Father, and just give us all a chance to live. Father, we pray especially for our children, because they're in the most dangerous positions. And we just pray, O Lord, that we can keep our children safe. And we know that it is now time, O Lord, O Heavenly Father, that we should call upon Thee and ask You to help us keep our children safe. Then, Father, we do pray for those who stand on the street corners every day trying to protect our children, the policemen, the crossing guards, and all of those, Father, who try their best to take care of our children when we are absent from our children. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that the summer is here now, the schools are out, and we know that trouble may be on every hand now. But we just ask You, if it be Your will, take care of our children. Then, Father, we pray for our soldiers and our troops everywhere in this world, that if it be Your will, that they may soon be able to come home. And we ask for peace all over the world. Then, Father, we pray for those political leaders who are able to bring peace, that if they sit down at the table, O Lord, that peace would be the top subject in mind. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for the people who are going through all the disasters that are happening. The people down in the Gulf, those people who are being flooded with oil from underground, O Lord. We just know that if it be your will, that all would be well. Then, Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us, everything you continue to do for us, and everything you will do for us in the future. These and all blessings, O Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, from the book of Luke, the chapter is 10 and the verses is the chapter is 10 and the verses are number 30 through 35, and it was read for your hearing by Brother Davis. We will reread it in a little bit. But for our subject this morning, we want to talk about a friend stopped by. Here in our very familiar text today, we have the story of the Good Samaritan, or of a Good Samaritan. Someone who stopped by when others passed by. A bad situation this could have turned out to be. And it is said that this is a true fact and not a parable, as Jesus has been often known to give. It said it's a true fact because Jesus named the places where this was supposedly to take place. This supposedly took place at. But Jesus wants us to see some things that happen in life can also dictate and teach us a lot about life itself. The reasons or the whys we are not always privileged to understand. For example, we cannot always know, nor shall we always understand why things happen the way they do. We may never know why bad things happen to good people. But Christians that know that no matter how bad things may get, life and Jesus, who directs our lives, has a better outcome. Now, I know there are those who wonder sometime, from time to time, just why do things take place the way they do? I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer. But what I do know, this one thing that I do know, is that God is in charge. And He has always been in charge, and He will always be in charge. So this morning, when we look at Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30, let us start with the reading at verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" So we want to just look at a few facts this morning, and I'm not going to try to hold you too long this morning, because I know that many of you have festivities planned, I would assume. And so if you do, I don't want to labor you too much. So let us first look at this man's journey, his journey. Now, the story does not tell us the man's name. It doesn't tell me if he was a father or not. But I do know one thing. He was someone's son. And it doesn't give us this other information. It only tells us that he was a certain man, letting us know that it could be you or it could be me. It could have been me or it can be me and it can be you. But it does give his itinerary. As the Bible says, he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem was known as the holy city. It is where the gospel was first proclaimed in Acts chapter 1, around verse number 4. Jesus instructed his followers to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. It was the place where, in Isaiah chapter 2, we are told that the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it, will flow unto it. Jericho was a totally different kind of city. It was a city that was full of troubles and full of sin. So this man was leaving a supposedly good place to go to a bad place. He was going to a bad place, and we don't know the reason why. And sometimes we ourselves think that we are leaving a bad dream situation for what we think is a better dream situation, only to find ourselves winding up in a nightmare situation. So we have to be very careful. So as bad as Jericho's reputation was, we do know one thing. We know that Jesus did go by there. He went through Jericho in Luke chapter 10, around verse number 46. We are told that there was a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was sitting on the highway, and he was a begging blind man as he sat on the highway, begging, and Jesus stopped by him. Jesus gave sight to him because he was blind. Because in this place, no matter how bad a place is, God, you can find God there, because everybody that's in a place are not bad people. So look at verse number 30. And Jesus answered him, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now we know where this man was going. We don't know what he was going for. I don't know if he was going to the bank. I don't know if he was going shopping, but all I do know is that the Bible says he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And something happened. His jeopardy came into play. His jeopardy, the Bible story does not give the reasons or the reasons why anybody would go to a much worse place instead of staying in a good place. When you think about going from a good place to a bad place, we sometimes have wild dreams and think that, oh, this has got to be better than where I'm at. You know, the grass always looks greener on the other side, we are told. But I got news for you. Sometimes the green grass on the other side is just a temporary greening effect. It's not all green all the time, and it's not going to be as rosy as the picture is being painted. The Bible story just tells us that this was a certain man, and that in his jeopardy, in verse number 30, his jeopardy was that he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. They took his clothes, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. That was his jeopardy, falling among thieves. The distance between these two cities was some 15 or 20 miles apart. So this man had to travel a little ways, and I don't know if he had an animal to ride up on or not, but I do know that he had a long walk if he was walking. And they tell me that this terrain is conducive for criminals, because the road is rocky and there are plenty of places to hide. And sometimes today I wonder, we never know around what corner trouble may be lurking and waiting to find them. There are thieves all over the place. There are thieves everywhere. There are those who look to rob us of our walk with God, if you will. There are thieves and robbers even in the Christian realm. They will try to separate us from our fellowship with God. This very question was raised in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, where the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? But then I like the answer in verse number 36 through about verse number 39, culminating with these words, none of these things mentioned shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I tell you something, church. No matter where your journey takes you, no matter how well off you may be when you leave for your journey, you don't know what you're going to find on your journey. And this man probably left home, no doubt, expecting to make his round from Jericho or from Jerusalem to Jericho. He probably didn't think of anything that might happen to him, like he could be caught by thieves and robbers. But then look at verse number 31. And by chance came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Thieves may rob you of your fellowship with God, and I'll give you an example. David was a man in which Satan had come between his fellowship with God. But he prayed that God would restore him in Psalms chapter 51. In Psalms chapter 51, David began to pray and ask God to restore him. And that's what we can do. We can ask God to restore us. And I know what some may say. Some may say, well, I don't need restoring. Oh, I got news for you. Every one of us needs some kind of restoration. Every one of us needs something in this life because you can't go through this life without falling sometime. And if you say you do, you make yourself out to be a liar. But he prayed that God would restore him. And then, just like this man fell among thieves, we can also fall among thieves who may rob us of our time with God. And there are a lot of thieves in life, and they're not always easily recognized until it's too late. I'll give you a perfect example. One thief that tries to rob our time with God all the time is the television set. Oh, the television set will rob you of your time with God because you'll sit in front of the television set and won't open your Bible. Or you'll sit in front of your computer and you'll search the world wide, but you won't check the scriptures. You won't search the scriptures. But they are nevertheless meant to steer us away from God, no matter what they are. There are things that the world has put in front of us that will take our time from God. This man was left beaten. He was left wounded, left half dead, dying in his own blood, stripped of his clothing. He was left to go out of the world the way he came into this world. According to Job chapter 1 and verse number 21, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. And these things represent how this man was left. He was left naked. Sin can do the same thing to us. Sin can strip us of everything we have in this life. It can make us become thieves like the people who strip us are of thieves. Just as with this man, it can put us by the wayside, leaving us in jeopardy with our souls. And I remember reading in James chapter 1 around verses number 14 and verse number 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Oh yeah, there's something about sin this morning in our lives. And I know that many of us that are sitting here say, well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. You may not be a sinner. I'm not saying you are a sinner. I just wanted to put it out there for your consideration. Then when you think about it, just because you didn't fall into Satan's snares on yesterday doesn't mean you will escape him today. And we must be on guard, for when a Christian is righteous, he won't mind putting on the whole armor of God, as it's spoken about in Ephesians chapter 6, starting around verse 10. We've got to put on the whole armor of God, and we've got to let others see that we are dressed for the world each and every day when we go out into the world. And a half-dressed Christian may as well be a whole-dressed sinner. If you're not wearing the armor of God, you're saying, well, I'm going to leave part of myself unprotected. And I got news for you. When you leave part of yourself unprotected, guess what can happen? The part that's the weakest link is where Satan tries to get into. Isn't that right, church? Oh, yeah. You say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, but I don't mind every now and then having a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Well, that's where Satan sneaks in on you. But I like this text because in verse number 31, it speaks about a certain priest that when he saw him, he passed on the other side. People passed this man by the wayside. Even so-called religious people, they did not offer a helping hand. And they are like so many of us. We only want to be involved from a distance when we hear about something going on or know about an incident. You know, we like to get home and then say, I passed right by that scene, but I didn't stop. But it was a shame what happened. Isn't that how we like to do church? We don't want to help anybody unless it means that I'm going to get something out of it. I read just a few days ago about all of the help that this country has given all other countries. And now all these other countries have come around and say, we'll send help to you in this oil disaster, but you'll have to pay us for it. And every time something happened, we went deep into our wallets and we helped them. But that's the way people are sometimes, even Christian folk. I don't want to get involved because there's nothing in it for me. But this man, he didn't worry about it. Look at verse number 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Oh, we'll look in from time to time. We might call you even every now and then, but we're not going to come by and see you and bring you anything to help you out because that's going out of my way, and he might ask me to do something. Oh, but I've got news for you. A friend stopped by. A friend stopped by and brought this man his justice. Look at verse number 33. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, this message is not about those who didn't help, but it's more about the one who did help, more about the one who said, who stopped by and offered compassion. He was a friend that day. He was a Samaritan, and I know what a friend is because there are friends all over the place. A friend, one of the definitions of friend is one who stands by another. And this man stood by this man who was laying by the wayside. And Jesus told us in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 19, he told this man he was talking to, he said, go home and tell thy friends. So friends are recognized. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on thee. Well, doesn't the text say in verse number 33, when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion on him? Isn't that a friend? I think it is. The Samaritans were looked down upon during that time, during this time of life. The Samaritans were looked down upon, but it was the elite people, the ones who talked about and hated the Samaritan. It was them who would not offer compassion for the wounded man. But the Samaritan man, he bound up the man's wound. Look at verse number 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This man was a friend who stopped by and did four things for the wounded man. What four things did he do? Number one, he went to him. Number two, he bound up his wound. Number three, he set him on his own beast. And number four, he took him to an inn. How many of us would do all of that for somebody? How many of us who say, I have friends, but I'm not willing to go the distance for my friends? Many of us would look the other way. Some of us may even drive on by, or in the case of these folk, they walked on by. They wasn't willing to be a friend. Church, do you remember when a friend stopped by and helped us? We were in a dying condition, just like this man was. But a friend said he would pay our debt. The friend said, I will go to the cross for them. And then the friend said in verse number 35, look, he said, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay. Isn't that what the man said? The story in the Bible said, when I come again, I will repay thee. The friend that stopped by made a promise to us as well. In John chapter 14 and verse number 3, he said, I will come again. Isn't that what the friend who stopped by to check on us said? Oh, I tell you something about the friend that stopped by to check on us one day. The friend that stopped by to check on us so that we don't have to face death without hope. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19, if in this life all we have is hope in Christ, a friend who will tell it, who will be there when we need to call up on him. In our Bible story, we are not told whether the injured man lived or died, but we do know that he lived long enough to get to the end. Now, we don't know any further history on it. He could have died in the end, but the Bible doesn't tell us that, because what the Bible wants us to see is that we need to get out and help others. Isn't that the point of the Bible story? I believe it is. We do know that this friend who stopped by for us died, that we don't have to die. Throughout all of eternity, his death is our living reminder that our friend showed mercy. Look at verse number 37. Verse number 35 again, I'm sorry. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him whatsoever thou spendest. When I come again, I will repay. In other words, when I come again, I'm going to take care of this man that I left in your charge. Isn't that right, church? There must be someone today. There must be someone today who can testify that we had a friend that stopped by. I know I had a friend that stopped by. I had a friend that stopped by when I couldn't get myself back into where I needed to be. This friend lifted me up and put me on the right track, and he did the same for you. You may not call him a friend, but I certainly would call him a friend. Look at verse number 33 again. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. This is what I like about this man. He came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, does Jesus have compassion on us today? All right. If Jesus has compassion on us today, and I know my time is drawing nigh now, and if Jesus has compassion, had not had compassion on us, where would we be today? Well, I tell you, many of us stand a distance from the cross anyway. But even though Jesus died on the cross, many of us say it wasn't necessary. Some of us say, well, I could have done what Jesus did for myself. I got enough money, I could have paid my own debt. But your debt was not a money kind of debt. The debt we owe was a sin kind of debt. And back in those days, sin was considered a debt to God. So when you think about it, church, I believe there must be someone today. There must be someone today, especially among the fathers, who want to be a better father. There must be someone today who want to be a better friend to their children. There must be someone today who want to be a better friend to the Lord. There must be someone today who knows a situation just like this man who fell among thieves was in. There must be someone today who can stand up today, who can come forward when we issue the invitation today and say, I want to rededicate my life to the friend that stopped by for me when I couldn't stop by and help myself. As the Samaritan brought a man who was left to die his justice by helping him to live, whether it was just for a little while or whether it was for a long while, we don't know. But what we do know that this man went to the rescue of another man in his time of need. And I know somebody is saying right about now, well, I would help people, but you know, sometimes when you try to help somebody, you get in trouble all by yourself. Sometimes when you try to help somebody in a desperate situation, you wind up in an even more desperate situation. But you can't look at life like that. If you look at life like that, you'll never help anybody. And I got some news for you. One day, you're going to need some help. One day, you're going to need some help. And I would say this to the fathers today. If you treat your children wrong, you will probably need your children before they need you again. You see, you've already brought them into this world. Your mom, the mom and the fathers have already brought them into this world. But if you abuse your children, once you get down on your sick and dying bed, and I tell you, sick and dying beds are everywhere. And you may need your children. And there are those fathers who say today, well, I remember a story about a man who had 2 sons. I remember a story about that man allowing one of his sons to leave and not get in his way. He gave him everything that he owed the young man. But time told the story, didn't it, church? Time told the story where the young man had to come back to his father. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that there was a time when you needed the young man, but there may come a time, there was a time when the young man needed you, but there's a time when you may need your children. And then, when I think about this story that I went through this morning, when I think about the implications that are there, the implications that a man was beaten and robbed and left half dead. We had been robbed of our life. We were in sin. And a friend stopped by us. A friend stopped by us to lift us out of what we were in. We had been wallowing in the pig pen of life. Or we were wallowing in the pig pen of life. And this man lifted us out of the pig pen. What do you owe someone who saved your life? What do you owe someone, a friend who saved your life? What do you owe a friend who lifted you up when you couldn't get up? Well, this man, this friend, as he stopped by, he took this man and he bound up his wounds. But you know, that's one thing, to bind up the wounds. He could have bound up his wounds and said, I'm going to leave you by the wayside, but he didn't. He picked him up and put him on his own animal. Took him to the inn and paid the innkeeper and said, take care of him till I get back. And when I get back, if I owe you any more, I'll take care of it. Jesus gave his life for us. He took care of everything we owe. But some of us have went back into debt. Some of us have racked up a big debt again. And some of us know that we can't get out of it on our own. We need a friend. And we have a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And if you want to just unload to Jesus, He allows us to do that. How can I become a member of the Lord's body and unload all my problems on Jesus? Well, you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And to those who have already done that, but sometimes they have went astray. You can ask God to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice. Leave with Him you came and begin life anew. Why don't you kneel at the cross to leave every care? Come on and kneel. The cross, Jesus will meet you.